Chapter 4. Philadelphia homicide detective Philip Desoutel logged in with the uniformed officer at the apartment's front door and stepped inside. His partner, Elizabeth McClarney, the so-called up person for this call, or nominal lead, was already there, having responded directly from the unit's headquarters.
"You get to have dinner?"
she asked. She was wearing a Tyvek suit, a disposable hospital cap, and surgical booties over her shoes. He frowned as he struggled to match her appearance, variously pulling, grunting, and hopping on one foot as he spoke.
"Girl had just taken my hoagie order and, bam, the pager went off. It's like clockwork, every damn time."
Elizabeth reached out with her latex-gloved hand and patted his proud belly.
"I think you'll live, Phil. Draw on your reserves."
Desoutel extracted gloves from his pocket and yanked them on as final preparation.
"Very cute. What have we got?"
They were in a section of town just west of University City called Cedar Park, an early 1900s mixed neighborhood of 2- and 3-story row houses, apartments, small stores, a few restaurants, and a couple of churches. It was slowly undergoing a financial uplifting, stimulated in part by the muscle flexing of the nearby University of Pennsylvania. But its roots as a post-Civil War trolley car suburb of Center City were clear to see, as were the rail tracks still in use along Baltimore Avenue, the neighborhood's main drag. Not the high-rent district, but not the kind of area where McClarney and Desoutel spent most of their professional time either. Elizabeth had him follow her past a small living room with bow windows overlooking the front porch and down a narrow hallway. They were on the first floor of a 3-story Queen Anne row house, once a family home, but since then chopped up into 3 separate apartments, cramped and made awkward by the need to accommodate a landing, a bathroom, and a kitchen on each floor.
"Came in as a welfare check," she said over her shoulder. "This woman's best friend supposedly called her every couple of days, as a routine. She got a run of no answers, got worried, and called 911.
"You talked to the friend?" Phil asked.
"Chelsea Klein. Not yet. She talked to someone from Detectives East, just enough to give him a name and number. I got a couple of guys driving her to the unit for an interview, also chasing down names of people the dead woman worked for. No alarm bell."